Here's what's on my heart. It's just, I'm going to be short and sweet with y'all. And then 6:30 is regular service, and there probably ain't no time limits, and I'll probably get the mic at 10 o'clock or something. I've never seen a place like this, ever. I do 45 weekends a year all over the country. There's only one Redemption House. I mean, I got the mic Friday night, and I looked up there, and I said, yep, I'm here. Usually people are thinking, I guess he's going to be winding down right around when they gave me the mic on Friday. I was like, wow. So if you would, go to Philippians with me real quick. We're not going to stay there long. We're going to look at one more scripture, and I'm just going to share my heart. Just hopefully deposit a little understanding, a little conviction, a little inspiration into something that I think is more vital than anything. Charlie talked about abiding today, right? Abiding. What's that mean? Abiding. Abiding in the vine. Abide in me. I in you. And right? So abiding means to dwell, remain, to live, to dwell, remain. And so how do we abide in the Lord? Abiding is more than just prayer. It's more than just reading your Bible. Abiding involves relationship, communion, communion with the Lord, getting to know him. He knows you, getting to know him. Jesus said in John 17, eternal life is knowing him. Isn't that amazing? It's almost like we, forgive the word sell. I'm not saying we're selling the gospel, but we almost sell salvation as a prayer to go to heaven. And Jesus said it's relationship with the Father. I'm paying a price to get you back home. Like, that's a big deal, to get you back to him. Like, I'm paying a price so you can get back to him. So you can live in him because he wants to live in you. Yeah? And there's a reason, because he created us for his image. The image was lost through sin. Come on, guys. I've preached it 1,000 times over. It's just true. You may never heard me, but I can't even go into all that right now. There's something I have to cover in a short time. But the truth is, Jesus restored what was lost. And it was union with the Father. Christianity is union with deity. It's oneness with God. Christianity is union with him. Yeah? And Christianity is not church attendance, even though gathering together is important and scriptural, and don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Christianity is Christ-likeness, not church attendance. It's not serving in a ministry. Christianity isn't helping to pull off a church service. Christianity is Christ-likeness. They were first called Christians in Antioch because they were like him. Yeah. And they called them Christians, which means little Christ-like ones. Isn't that amazing? That the people named them Christians. Like, they didn't come up with their ministry name and dig deep and try to get something with some powerful whap to it, you know? The people said, well, they're like little Jesuses. They're like that guy they crucified. They remind me just of that guy. They're like little Christ-like ones. And that's where the name Christian came from. Isn't that amazing? Phew. Philippians 2, beginning of the chapter. He wants us, he says in verse 2, he talks about being like-minded, the same love, and being of one accord and of one mind. Do you understand? Remember when I got Chris up the other day and I said, you'll never mistake us? We don't look anything alike, but we can both look like him. Amen. That's what makes us one. We have so many differences and preferences, and there's so much diversity in this small room. There's so many differences in this small room. Some people like it loud. Some people like it soft, fast, slow. There's tons of diversity. Some people are into certain things that other people never even considered. And those people are into things that those people never considered. There's just different flavors, preferences, desires. You know what I'm saying? So in a small room, there's loads of diversity. So how do you have unity? That's exactly how you have unity, because in the middle of diversity is where you find true unity, that none of that, those flavors and appetites, can override the true meaning of why we're here and who we are. Yeah. Like, this isn't uniformity. That was Hitler's idea. That was a bad idea. Really bad. Uniformity. Everybody the same. Everybody look alike. A superior race. Everybody, this uniformity isn't unity. Unity is in the midst of our diversity and differences. We're all living for the same goal. We all have the same purpose. We're all running the same race. We all have the same finish line. We all have the same goal. Yeah? Growing up into Him in all things. Wonder if we'd pursue that. Wonder if we'd pursue the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wonder if we'd all pursue shining as a light and walking in love and bearing witness of Christ. Wonder if that would be more important than the ministry you believe He's called you to. See, sometimes we pour more energy into what we feel we're called to instead of what we're called to be. So then we try to do what we're called to without being. And that's why people don't run well and run long. And that's why they run up and down. Are you all with me?
Yes.
See, Paul, there's places Paul talks about one faith. Yeah. There's so many uses of faith in the Bible where he sticks the word the in front of it. The faith. Making it singular and specific. Like, you can have faith for a better job. You can have faith to believe for protection over your children. You can have faith for a lot of things. You can have faith for your neighbor to get saved. You can have faith for somebody's heart to open up and hear the gospel that you work with. There's a lot of tool. The tool of faith is multifaceted, but yet Paul puts the word the in front of faith a lot. Singling it out, making it specific. The faith. Built up in the faith. Obedient to the faith. Established in the faith. Standing steadfast in the faith. They're all scriptures. Exactly. It's the perspective we're all supposed to have of who we are now that He came. And what He's in us for and why we're here. That's what makes us one. Isn't that something? So this little snippet of what I'm going to talk about is communion, relationship, and fellowship with the person of Holy Spirit. It's not talked about a lot. I talk to Jesus, I talk to the Father, and I talk to Holy Spirit. So forgive me, but I just talk to everybody. I just feel like we're one big family. And I'm like, I'll be driving. Father, I just thank you. I love you so much. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, you're incredible. The fact that you came, that you modeled the Father, that you showed me what my life's created to look like, that you told me what was possible through the person of Holy Spirit, that you invited me in. Jesus, you're the best. Holy Spirit, thank you for taking me there. I am so ready to run. Yeah, I talk to everybody. I even talk to you. I will. I'll talk to you. I talk to everybody. Oh, my goodness. Forgive me. I'm messing up bad. Theologically, and I agree with Charlie Day when he says theology is just stupid. It's whacked. And I'm like, I was like, I wanted to say amen really loud, but gee. I mean, you could get a degree, a theological degree, and not be born again. And the knowledge puffs you up. It's love that edifies. The whole goal of our instruction is love. So the unity of faith. And the faith is you and I knowing who we are now that He came and understanding the goal that we're all going towards. So the goal of our instruction, the end of the commandment, is love. So we're all here to become love, to be transformed back into what God intended. See, God is love. God made man for His image. It's not a head, arms, and legs, and a torso. He's a spirit. He doesn't even have a body. He had to give Jesus a body to fulfill what man failed, to walk out this thing, right, called the cross. But God doesn't have a body. He's a spirit. So He makes us after His image. So it's not what He looks like. It's who He is. See, nobody ever taught me this stuff growing up. Like God made, it's personal and intimate that God made man. He made man with intention. That's why people struggle and think life's a grind and so hard, and life's a bleep and a blip and a blank. And it's because you're living life outside of why you're here. Why would you be empowered to live outside of why you're here? Why would God give you grace to go down a road you were never created to be on? So this gospel's incredible, but it's not something that I just theologically believe. It's not something that I just intellectually embrace. It's not knowledge. It has to become knowing. It has to become yours. And I want to talk about that just for a second, and that's what we're going to do. But when I said theologically, I didn't mean that in the bad sense of what we were talking about with theology. But scripturally, God the Father, who knows he's on the throne? Who knows that Jesus is mediating between God and man and representing man to God and God to man? He's sitting on behalf of men, mediating, a high priest unto God on behalf of men, forever sitting at the right hand of God. And Holy Spirit is here on the earth, living in those that believe. Isn't that cool? So, oh, we gotta see it. He says, well, let me back up and just read a little bit, because I want you to see. I always do this when I see a therefore. Verse one is a therefore. So we're going to back up a couple verses so we know what it's there for, and then we'll catch the context of what he's saying. But we could actually jump in on this one. This one would be easy. But I like reading these last couple verses anyway of chapter one of Philippians. It says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. You read one scripture like that. You just read one scripture like that, and you know that Christianity is way more than a prayer to go to heaven. It actually has to do with your living and your manifestation. It has to do with you and the going and the gospel, the go of the gospel. When you read one scripture like that, just one scripture, it tells you, wait a minute, this isn't about me just getting a passport to heaven and knowing where I'm going when I die and having a peace of mind. And this is about me becoming something. This is about me getting into a race. This is about me putting on something that I was supposed to be wearing from the beginning. Yeah. I mean, I could hold up my Bible for you and just start turning pages. Everywhere there's Christian living, Christian commandment, Christian engagement, like things we're supposed to walk out and give ourselves to, I have in purple in my Bible. You should see the dominant color in my Bible is purple. The dominant color in my Bible is purple. Christian living. What we're called to, what we're created for, what we're supposed to be walking out. There's whole chapters in my Bible. It's just all purple. It's all instruction. What we're supposed to become and live and give ourselves to and abstain from and realize and understand. It's a big deal. This thing is a whole lot more than just finding some favor with God and catching a blessing and getting some provision and having enough. Only let your conduct be worthy of gospel Christ. So whether I'm coming, this is Paul writing to the Philippians, whether I'm coming or I'm absent, I hear of your affairs that you stand fast. Here we go again. Here it is. Look, that you stand fast in one spirit with how many minds? One mind. Oh my goodness. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. For what? For faith? For the faith. He's saying, let this be a major pursuit that you put your effort toward, that you all come together for the same reason, that you're striving together for the faith of the gospel, that you're all recognizing why he came, who you are now that he came, and who you are now that he's here. Striving together for the faith of the gospel, one mind. That's why it's dangerous when people church shop, trying to find a place they enjoy. Trying to find a place they like, finding a good worship team or a pastor personality that connects with them. Because there's not a striving for the faith of the gospel. There's just a satisfying of your own desire. And if anything changes, your experience will change. Your desire to be there will change. Church shopping is dangerous. People should be asking God where he wants them planted. People church shop all the time. I've learned as a pastor, people church shop. I know a lot of pastors. You know what happens to them? Especially if they're not solid and strong and secure in a lot of things. They try to provide a product people are looking for. And then we get tricked into doing church instead of being her. And we think we're having great church, but we ain't living Christ. And when the service ends, that's when it all ends. And then reality hits, and then I got to go home or face my life or go back to work and work under them. And come on, just being sober. Is it all right if I just be sober? I know you all been drunk for days. But is it all right if I'm just sober? Sober's good. Y'all just want me drunk. But sober's good. I actually don't even get drunk around you folks. I live sober. I get drunk when you ain't looking. When I'm around you, I make sure I stay sober. Because I've watched you drunk and I don't want to be drunk with you. I mess up. See, I'm talking like this because mom and pop ain't in the house. See, I'm getting away with it. I feel safer when I'm sober. Here. I'm having fun, Roy. Yeah, something's going to come back on me on this. We're standing fast, guys, in one spirit, in one mind. We're striving together. See, you got to be committed. You got to be in for a higher cause than your own desires and preferences. So there's surrender and sacrifice. Like love lays down its life. Do you get that? Love lays down its life. So if we're all pursuing love, then we have to have this surrendered mentality already. We have to have this component of surrender. I'm not talking about being controlled. I'm not talking about being passive or being a doormat or being used in a weird way. What I'm saying is we have to understand when we become a part of something called the church that we're coming, becoming a part of it for one goal, one reason, and one purpose. And if we're missing that, we're missing the whole thing. Come on, it's that narrow. Come on, narrow's narrow. Like, it's not our way, it's the. This broad is this other way. And there's so many people running down that road. But narrow is the way we're talking about it. And few are those who find it. It's difficult and few are those who find it. Why? Because it's so narrow. Because it's so easy to deviate. Yeah. It's so easy to deviate and just get a little off the line and miss the point. And get tricked into doing church. Never weigh your heart. Never actually see your real motives and what makes you tick and why do you go there and why are you apart? Amen. See, what I'm going to talk to you about, and I thought I'd be done by now, and I'm barely even there. Yeah, we got a 6:30 service. I could just shut her down, you know. But, it doesn't feel like I can shut her down. Are you okay? You guys okay? Are you okay if I just finish this? Okay. So we're going to stand fast in one spirit. Oh, this is good. We're going to have one mind. It's not just going to be about, well, he said, she said, well, I wish. Well, why do we have to? We really have to worship that long? Well, why do people? Well, how come? And see, when I pastored, we'd get our Sunday morning offering. And sometimes, I'm not joking, sometimes on the offering cards, there were as many notes of concern, and I wish you'd do this and wouldn't do that, as there was offering money. Like little notes, like how come, and why does pastor, and does he always have to, and how come they don't, why don't we do this here? I was at a church, and they would put their grievances in the offering. Yeah, it wasn't cool. So I just asked if I could preach every week, and I just spanked everybody every week. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it gives us away. It's like we get caught up with these little things. And then when you see it, it's like you can't get off of it. If you get tricked, and it's all you see, and then it becomes a screen, and it's like all your, it's like, and then you miss everything else. Don't let that happen to you. Okay, because we're going to have one mind, we're going to strive together for the faith of the gospel, guess what we're going to be also? We're not in any way. Why? Because we're surrendered. We're living for a goal. We're living for a cause. We have a motive and a reason behind our faith and our Christianity. And it's called the faith. So we're not going to in any way, be terrified by our adversaries. You be honest with me, fear is a normal response in a lot of Christians' lives because we're not understanding what we're teaching here right now. Fear is a normal, it gives us a way that we're here to survive more than we're here to shine. We're here to survive more than we're here to shine. When you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, fear has nothing to do with it. When you lay down your life and you love not your own life unto death, fear has no platform, voice, or power. But when you say that you're loving your own life, not loving your own life unto death, but you're still going through fear and worry and anxiety, then you have to look at your real heart motive and say, wait a minute, I'm saying the right things, but I ain't living from the right places because these things have access to be alive in my life. Is it possible to not be afraid of your adversaries? It has to be if he's writing it. Like if Jesus says, follow me, can we?
Yes.
Ain't that something? 1 John 2 says, if any man says he abides, we were talking about abide. Charlie talked about a lot today, abide, remain, dwell. Any man that says he abides in him and remains in him and dwells in him ought to walk even as he walked. How powerful is that? Walk in love just as Jesus loved. See, religion says, talks about Jesus and thinks it's honoring him and says, oh, well, that was Jesus. Oh, well, that was Jesus. Making his life unattainable to follow. Thinking they're honoring him and then saying, well, this is us. Oh, that was Jesus, meaning this is us. Jesus has come up hither. I seated you in heavenly places in Christ. I'll fill you with the same spirit to raise Christ from the dead. He'll quicken your mortal body. He'll make impossible very possible. And what I couldn't be on my own, I can be in him. What I can never fulfill on my own, I can fulfill in him. He changes me. But religion says, oh, well, that was Jesus. Oh, well, Jesus, well, that was Jesus, yeah. And the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So you're just not believing. Come on, that's not mean. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. You see how you got to protect your believer? You can't just let anything have your believer. You can't just let things ease in and sneak into your believer. You can't let life and circumstances, analytical mindsets, and friend suggestions start creeping in, and now you have a belief that isn't true. Now there's a limitation. You look at Jesus on the cross getting brutally beat. He's standing with Pilate in front of the people. I mean, people he preached to for a long time. He did miracles and healing. He healed all that came to him. And he called a bunch out and healed them. But he healed everybody that came to him. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Didn't he? He raised some dead. And they want to kill him. Come on, that wouldn't fly with us. Look, I've been doing nothing but good. I've been feeding you people, casting out your devils. I've been healing your sick. Over there in Capernaum, man, remember that day? There wasn't one person left sick. And you all were saying, yay. And now you want to kill me? I've been raising the dead and you want to kill me all the more? You people are whacked. You bunch of idiots, and I ain't dying for none of you. And who do you think you are hitting me? Don't you know who I am? There was nothing made that wasn't made through me. I'm the one that was and is to come. How dare you strike me? Do you know men have pulled that on men? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I own? Do you know my name? Who do you think you are? Jesus is Jesus, the Lord.
Yes.
And he don't pull none of that.
Yes.
And he said we ought to love like he loves. For greater love hath no man this. He laid down his life. He said, ain't nobody taking my life. I'm going to give it. Don't you think them thieves were just spreading out to get on that cross? They didn't hardly have no strength left by the time they got to them crosses. They've been beat, they've been drugged, they've been kicked, and they've been carrying the weight of that thing. And when it's time to get on there, they find strength they didn't have. They're screaming, trying to tuck their arms, pull their hands back. You think Jesus put pressure on his arms so they couldn't stick him? That man rolled over on that cross. There ain't no doubt in my mind. And he just spread out and laid on that thing and put his everything where it needed to be. Because it ain't going to be said that no man took his life. Everything he's done is totally right. Everything being done against him is totally wrong. And he don't change. And we get tricked into saying, yeah, but that was Jesus. And I say, no, that was love. Amen. And it's exactly what you're created to be. It's the end of the commandment. It's the goal of our instruction. It's what it means to follow Jesus. It's not just signs and miracles and wonders. It's his nature coming out of men, women. It's his nature. It's walking in love. Where'd you come from? Like Charlie said today, just come through the wall. There was this woman. She just came through the wall. And she just sat and watched for a while, nodded her head, and just walked back out the wall. I'm almost done. I told him I was almost done 10 minutes ago. And I'm so not even close to where I'm going. I'm a little nervous right now because I'm thinking there's going to be services just bleeding together. We're not in any way terrified by our adversaries. To our adversary, it's a proof of their destruction. To you, it's evidence of your salvation, and that's from God. Wow. For to you, it's been granted. Oh, man, I wish every Christian would read this. For to you, it's been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to also suffer for his sake. That means being in the world and not being of it. Living without compromise. People not understanding your stand, not understanding that you don't retaliate. Standing up for your rights, your own family members coming against you because they think you're too passive and a pushover, trying to make love weak. Just other people mocking you because you won't get involved in the things that people are calling awesome and fun. You won't compromise and violate your conscience. You won't sleep around. They say, you ain't slept with her yet? No, there's no way. I say, I ain't married to her. I honor her too much to sleep with her. This ain't about me having an orgasm and getting off and filling my desires. She's a woman of God. She's God's girl, and I honor her, and I'm proving to her that I love her, and I'm not with her so I can sleep with her. You know what you women been taught, unfortunately? That if a man feels that way, then you ain't good for him. That if he don't want you, you ain't all that. Ain't that a mess? Some women are pushing to be wanted instead of positioned to be loved. I'm just saying. I ain't even close to where I'm trying to go. You came in and messed everything up. You messed it all up. No, it's true. She'd understand that women were created to be loved by God through their covenant man. That's part of creation's value, that Adam was created after God's image. So was the woman, but she came out of Adam. That's why she was called Eve. She came out of the man. She's flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. She's not a separate lump of clay. That's important. That means they were one, and God made them two so they could be one. Why? So this is Adam. This is Eve. I like you guys. No, I do. You shine. You have good countenances. I like you guys. It's easy to see that you love Jesus. It's easy to see you're born again. So I'm just going to call you Adam and Eve. Before the fall. Before you got deceived and messed this thing up. No, no, I'm just kidding. And then you listen to her instead of God. Stone them. No, sorry. No, we're going back to a good place. This is Adam. This is Eve. On the day of Christ. What am I doing? We're having fun. I know that. So God just breathes into this man. Boom, Adam stands up. He gives him dominion, gives him authority. They just chilling. God's his father. So beautiful. They're just hanging out. And everything that's in God, he breathed into him, called his image. He says to Adam, hey, see all them animals? I made them all. What do you think about that one? He says, man, I think that thing is cool. Look at the neck on that thing. He says, what do you want to call it? I don't know why. I just get this. I feel like I want to call it a giraffe. And God didn't go, giraffe? That's stupid. Whatever Adam called it, so it was. It's such a humble thing. It's God saying, you go, boy. I created you to subdue. I created you to have dominion. I gave you authority. And I put me in you. And he goes and he's looking around at the animals and he sees another giraffe. And he sees two things over here and two things over. And he goes, man, this man is full of me. He's got the same problem I had before I breathed into him. Like, I got nowhere to go with me. Where do I go with me? How do I multiply me? How do I express me when it's just me? So I'll make man and multiply me and put me in him. And we'll call him Adam. And then he says, but where's this guy going to go with who I made him to be? He says, it ain't good this man be alone. He ain't got nowhere to go with who he is. How can he fulfill the first law in my word, seed time and harvest time? He ain't got nowhere to sow a seed for one thing, but he ain't got nowhere to multiply. He ain't got nobody to love. He ain't got nobody to manifest me to. He's got nobody to be tender mercies and kind toward. He's got nobody to express me to. I can't leave him alone. It ain't because he's lonely. He's full of God. See, people that live in loneliness ain't full of God. If they'd ever get full of God, they'd understand that that was silly, being lonely. You could sit me in a room. You could lock me in a room for a week. Give me a little porta potty and no windows, no nothing. You better be careful when you open that door. Not because of the porta potty. Because I'm not alone. I'm undistracted. I got nothing in there but Jesus, and I know him. So I ain't bouncing off the walls. It ain't solitary confinement, and you open the door, and I'm half out of my mind. Crazy, because I've been in the dark and all alone. No, I've been in the light and fulfilled. See, it's the total opposite. So that's Adam's deal right now. And he says, you know what? He says, it ain't good this man be alone. So he puts him in a deep sleep. He doesn't come over here and form another lump of clay. Puts him in a deep sleep. Watch what he does. He reaches into the fullness of God in the man. And he brings out Eve. And he takes what was one and makes it two. We can find later in the word that this man, if he loves her, it's because he loves himself. That he's to wash her with the water of God's word. That he's to love her like Christ loves his church. What an honor. That's not a duty. That's not a list of rules. That's, hey, Adam, you can be like me. Yeah, but she ain't, but she don't, but she, how come she? What? You missing the whole point? Church, he's saying, Adam, I'm giving you the opportunity to be like me. He called Eve flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. It says, for this reason, man shall leave for this reason. Oneness, to love her with everything that God is in him. For this reason, man's going to leave his father and mother. He's going to cleave to his wife. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That thing was so blown out of the water. It's blown out of the water today. It was so blown out of the water in Jesus' day that when Jesus was asked, is it lawful for a man to give his wife a certificate of divorce? And he said, well, it wasn't this way from the beginning. They said, well, Moses, he gave them certificates out. It was not this way from the beginning. For in the beginning, God made man. He made woman, he made him to cleave, be joined together, and no one put him asunder. Ain't that something? Woo! You think about what we've done to marriage union. Don't you get condemned if you'd struggled in marriage. Don't you get condemned if you've been married three times. Whatever's allowed you to be married three times, just be challenged, convicted, and let that change. Don't be condemned. Be changed. But you be honest. There's been more pain in relationships probably than blessing. More dissension than the manifestation of love. More pressure, more arguing, more bickering, and sweet moments. You be honest. It's because right after this picture, another voice came and deceived Eve, and Adam followed Eve instead of God. And man didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy, became totally self-centered and proud, and had no more ability in him, no ability at all in him to love her. The only thing he could do now is need her or want her for himself. And now she's reduced because her desire is for the man.
Right.
It's in your Bible. Now she's reduced to needing him to need her and wanting him to want her. And even though it ain't all that good, at times she's still got need. That's why women say, men can't live with them, can't live without. And now nowadays, I'll get really in trouble for this. A lot of women just gave up on men. Thought they'd just try women. Forgive me. I know it's recorded. I'll get crucified. It's all right. You can't kill me anyway. I'm not going to die. You can hate me and shoot me. I'm not going to die. You just sent me straight to the Lord. They killed Stephen, and truth's still on the earth. They killed Jesus, truth's still on the earth. You can't kill truth. He's a spirit. He's a person. Yay. But that's what happened. That's what God designed. Now, why? He said, man, this is good. And he blessed it. This is before the tree, guys. He blessed it. And Jesus took away the tree, didn't he? I mean, as far as the sin of the tree. The tree's still in your life. The voice is still speaking.
Yeah.
Just follow him, Jesus.
Amen.
The tree's still there. The voice is still speaking. Follow Jesus. Amen. But look what he said. He said, this is good. And he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. He's not saying, okay, now guys, you have permission to go get it on. What he's saying is, multiply me. Reproduce the image till the whole earth is filled with his glory. Because the manifestation of him is his glory.
Amen.
That's why when Israel was failing terribly and spinning terribly and didn't look anything like they even knew God, let alone represent God. Do you know Israel was chosen so the nations of the world would know God through them? That's why they were the holy lump, the first fruit. That's why God came to Abraham and it fell on Israel, because he wanted to raise up a nation to manifest his great name, just like he made Adam to manifest his great name. So that got lost through Adam. So now we're under the law of sin and death, and he just picks out a nation and keeps the principle alive. But they're misrepresenting God and profaning his name on every angle and everywhere they go. And no matter what nation they went into, they misrepresented him. He tells Ezekiel, tells us that in Ezekiel. Yeah? in the middle of the wilderness. They're failing terribly. And Moses and God are having another conversation about forgiving them. And God's like, okay, listen, I'm forgiving them, Moses. And God prophesied. It's a very powerful moment when Almighty God starts prophesying, like straight up from God. He says, let me tell you something, Moses. God said this, as surely as I live. You probably take this to the bank. Like, this is one you could probably, it's probably not false prophecy. You know, people are really on a false prophecy witch hunt, and sometimes just some things need held accountable, but some people are on a false prophecy witch hunt. But this one you can take it to the bank. God said, as surely as I live, the people that he called out by his name don't look anything like him. There's a whole book of just their journey. Failing, judged, repenting, failing, judged, repenting. Chapter after chapter. And about in the middle of it, God said, let me tell you something, Moses. As surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. What's he saying? He's saying, I know this doesn't look anything like me, and I made them to look just like me. But I'm telling you, as surely as I live, there's going to be a people on this earth. They're going to know me. They're going to know my name. I'm going to know them, and they're going to manifest me rightly. There is a people going to be on this earth. And what's he prophesying? He's prophesying about us. Why not our generation? Why not us? He said there's going to be a people through Christ, living in Christ. He was seeing that. He was seeing after the cross and then filled with his spirit and filled with his nature and filled with his love, living out the faith, one mind, one spirit, not a million denominations and four churches on four corners, but a people that understand and they've surrendered and they love not their own life unto death. And they're not ashamed, and they're not afraid. They're not complainers. They're not discouraged. They don't compromise. They live Christ. They love their wives. They love their children. Their wives are secure, and they receive the love of God through their husbands. That's what he was seeing. And he said, as surely as I live, going to be filled with my glory. What's he saying? There's going to be a representation, manifestation, and revelation of me everywhere in the earth. I'm going to have people everywhere that rightly reveal me. Everywhere. That doesn't sound like murmuring, complaining, discouraged, self-conscious, self-focused. What about me? But you know what I've been going through. Listen, I'm not being insensitive to your circumstances. I'm being insensitive to unbelief that takes on the identity of your circumstances instead of where's Christ in every moment. Come on. I'm not being insensitive to you. I'm saying you have options. You have the way or a bunch of other ways. And I suggest you go after the. Amen. Okay, I am so late, it's ridiculous. And I'm in Redemption House, you guys absolutely don't care at all. Like, you're just sitting there like you don't even care. Like, you don't even know what the schedule is. You just know if I'm preaching, you're listening, and if they get up there, you're up front for hours, and then I'm preaching again, and you're like, this was awful. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. Redemption House. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, let me get to this point, because I'm supposed to share this point today, and I still know it, but all this other stuff bombards me. It's not my fault. Do you see? I try to read like two scriptures, and inside I go, and then it's, blah. And then I read another scripture, blah. This is crazy what happens. It's not my fault. Can you tell it's not my fault? I don't have any of this planned. I didn't recite this. I didn't practice this in a mirror. That would be weird. Yeah, I saw you guys earlier today. We walked this all out. I felt like I preached this the second time. No. Okay, and then I'm going to call out a couple. Hopefully they're in the front. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I didn't even think about any of this stuff, but it's all here. But here's how it happens, and this is the punchline. So we're getting down here to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict you saw in me and now you hear is in me. In other words, there's a resistance in the world. The whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. There's a wisdom in the world, but God has sent Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, to become the wisdom of God for us. So now there's this sanctification. We're out of darkness into the light. We're not out of the world. We're still in the world, but we're not of the world. We're renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're not conformed. We live sanctified and set apart. Do you get it? 1 Thessalonians says, the will of God for you. This is the will of God for you. And there's a semicolon. It says, this is the will of God for you. Your sanctification. You live in separate with a holy calling. You get it? Watch this. Therefore, because of these last three verses, he says, therefore, in light of this revelation, because this is true, if there's any consolation or encouragement, that word means, in Christ. Is there encouragement in Christ?
Yes.
Yeah. So Paul's just reasoning. Look, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if you find any consolation through Christ, look, watch this. Any comfort of love. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship. Ain't that something? Any fellowship of the Spirit. That's the communion, co-union, relationship, friendship, and fellowship with the person of Holy Spirit. In the book of John, people fight over the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They fight over this message. They fight over the person of the Holy Spirit. Religion fights it tooth and nail. Why? Because he's our in. He's our empowerment. He's our ticket to walking out everything we're preaching. So of course, half the church that says they're Christian fights his reality, fights his theology, fights this doctrine. All of a sudden, God's not even speaking. And what are you speaking the Holy Spirit for? You're only supposed to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Read your Bible. That's in prayer. That's praying for something. You're praying to the Father in Jesus' name when you pray for something. But I have fellowship, co-union, and communion with Holy Spirit. If Chris and I hung out for a day, we're going to talk. We're going to connect. If we jump in the car and go drive and grab somebody 20 miles down the road, we're connecting. We're talking. We're fellowshipping. If I do that four more times with him, after that, I can start saying, oh, yeah, I used to say, oh, yeah, I know Chris because I come down to Redemption House. And I know him. I know his wife. I know them. Oh, yeah, we crapped together on a boat before. But after about four times of that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know him. We just hang out and we do a week somewhere together. We go on a conference men's thing together and we drive across the country and hang out and we do a weekend and we take our time and drive back. By the end of that week, you say, do you know him? I say, oh, my goodness, I know him. Yeah, because I know him. Why? I've been with him. You can't take that from me. You can't say he ain't real. You can't say he don't exist. You can't say he ain't Chris. I've been with him.
Yeah.
I know him. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is what people are missing, if they're missing anything that I've seen in my life as whatever it is I do. I don't know what I do. I have no idea what I do. They don't have this co-union, this communion, and this fellowship with the person of Holy Spirit. Some people are afraid to talk to him because they think it's unscriptural. Listen, he won't speak unless it's that which he hears. How can you tell me that Holy Spirit isn't speaking when Jesus said he'll only speak what he hears? He won't speak on his own authority, but only that which he hears. He'll show you things to come. He'll bear witness of all things that are mine that are given to you. He's going to be your helper. I'm sending another. The word is allos in the Greek. It means the same kind as. He's saying, I'm sending one to you that's just like me. And he'll do in my absence what I would do if I was here myself. But it wouldn't benefit you for me to stay here because it would just be me. But I'm going to go to the Father and he's coming. And he's going to live in as many as believe. Are you with me? Do you see it in your Bible? Any fellowship, if there's any fellowship of Holy Spirit. And then he talks about being fulfilling his joy and being like-minded, one mind, one accord. Go to the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 real quick. All the mouths of two or more, every word is firm and established. I'll just show you another place. John chapter 14 and 15 is a real good place. 16 is a real good place. Jesus talks about Holy Spirit a lot. And he's going to be with us. He's going to speak to us. He's going to lead us and guide us, show us things to come. So for years, I've thanked Holy Spirit for being my best friend. For years, I've communed with Holy Spirit and thanked him that he's my best friend and that he reveals things to me. I ask him, what's on the heart of the Father? Is there anything that Father wants to show me through you? Is there anything that you want to show me today? I preach it. I ask him for years, would you make me a friend to you like you are to me? You're so faithful. You're so pure and so amazing. I just want to be a friend to you like you are to me. I want to hear. I want to obey. I want to understand. Mold me, shape me. Do everything that the blood of Jesus has paid for in my life and do in me what you desire. I've talked to him like that 1,000 times over. I thank him for being my friend, for being there. I appreciate him in my life. I thank him that he gives me understanding and revelation. That Father, I thank you that you have called men to write your word, and Holy Spirit, you've inspired them. Men have given their lives writing this word. You gave them the revelation. You know what you were saying when they penned the words. Would you put that in my understanding? I thank you that you're feeding me and filling me with revelation. So I don't just read my Bible, because it's Bible reading time. I commune with him.
Amen.
I thank him that he gives me revelation and understanding. I thank him that he's sitting here reading it with me. And the way that you understood when they penned these words, let me see what you were saying, please, so that I can rightly become it and rightly impart it to others. I talk to him like that all the time. Yeah?
Yes.
I just appreciate him. I thank him for loving me. I just thank you. I'll just be driving. I'll say, Father, thank you for fathering me. Thank you for loving me. Jesus, you are so awesome. What an example. You are so much more than my forgiveness of sins. You are so much more. And forgiveness of sins is amazing, but you are so much more. Holy Spirit, I welcome you and appreciate you in my life. I talk to him all the time. If there's any fellowship with the Holy Spirit, right? Watch this. Watch this at the end of the chapter. In verse 13, he says, and all the saints greet you. He's closing. It's his bye-bye of the letter. It's the end of the letter. It's one big long letter. We make chapters. It's the very end of the long, big, long letter. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion. Oh. You know what that word is? It's fellowship, it's koinonia, it's intimacy, it's interconnection, interactivity. It comes to the word intercourse, it's just being real. It's a deep, intimate word of oneness and union. He said that the union, the koinonia, the co-union, communion, oneness, and interaction of Holy Spirit be with you all. How we can struggle with the theology of that.
Yeah.
Is beyond me.
Yeah.
And don't you let anybody talk you out of relationship with Holy Spirit. Yeah. Talk to him.
Yeah.
Let him be your friend. Yeah. Believe he'll speak to you and show you things.
Yeah.
And bear witness of Jesus to you and bring glory to Jesus through you. So if the love of the Father is what inspired the grace that flows through Jesus Christ, that introduced us to the person of Holy Spirit, our helper, then he's the one we have intimate relationship with daily. I still talk to the Father and I talk to Jesus, but please, please, please commune with Holy Spirit. Talk to him always. Ask him to read with you. Thank him for giving you understanding. Don't say, well, I don't read my Bible because I never get nothing out of it. I just get so mad. It feels like I get so distracted and my mind wanders off. Your mind will not wander off if you're in communion with Holy Spirit and you're reading your Bible. And even if you catch your mind drifting off, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. I just realized I was going over there, but I'm right here. It's not, oh, there I go again. This ain't working. Somehow when we step out, we're always more concerned about the risk of failing instead of the blessing of becoming. I'm never risking failing. I'm always privileged to become. hear me?
Yes.
I showed you two places in the Bible to have fellowship and communion with Holy Spirit. I can't explain how. I just knew this when I got saved. I can't explain how. I just knew it. I woke up the morning after I got saved, and I don't remember really sleeping much. I was overwhelmed, and I knew my life would never be the same, and I dozed off a little towards daylight, and I woke back up, and the presence of the Lord was very, 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 very obvious on me. And I was praying in tongues. And I didn't know what I was doing, and nobody was there to tell me I couldn't. So I just kept praying. And then I talked to the Lord, I talked to Father God, and I talked to Jesus a lot. And as I was reading, I bumped into scripture that referenced Holy Spirit. And when I saw Jesus said he was mine, he was my helper, and then I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and pray in other tongues, I said, well, I've already been. So Holy Spirit's in my life. I'm sorry, I didn't even know. I didn't know you were here. You've been here the whole time. No, like a little kid. Because right after that, I found out, and then I realized I wasn't water baptized, so I water baptized myself. I didn't know if it was legal. Now, people will tell me it wasn't legal, maybe. I don't know. But boy, he sure appreciated it. I asked Holy Spirit to wait for me when I come out. And I said, would you just hold me and present me to the Father? And in my own little water baptism, it's when Holy Spirit said, the water baptism is like the womb of God. It's like a baby being born. And when the water breaks, a baby comes forth. And Holy Spirit showed me how he takes a soul and looks up to the Father and says, another brand new baby boy, Papa. Ain't he beautiful? See? Because in your Bible, Holy Spirit was over the expanse of the waters. He was just hovering, and the earth had no form. And it actually has the word chaos. Was our life without form before Jesus? Yes. Was our life chaos before Jesus?
Yes.
So guess what Holy Spirit's doing? Just what he was in Genesis. He's just hovering over the water. Woo! Yeah. This amazing. My wife did this to me a long time ago. And it was amazing. And I gave the Bible away because I get my Bible super marked up. I've done it with a whole handful of them. And then I give them to a new believer. And they got all my notes in the column. It's just fun. Now, don't ask me for my Bible. It don't work that way. I'm trying to see exactly where. Oh, here it is. So in my Bible, I went to read my Bible, and I was at a church, and I was preaching. And I said, listen, I want to show you creation. I want to show you the beginning. And we opened up to Genesis, and I looked, and I went, what? I thought my Bible's been tampered with. It was my wife. She took these little tiny white pieces of paper and she glued them over top the word light. And I don't think Jesus was mad at her. Watch. It was Genesis. It said, and then God said, let there be Dan. And there was Dan. And God saw Dan and it was good. That came from my wife, man. Yeah. That didn't come from a YouTube fan. That came from my wife. Somebody that really, really knows me doesn't just watch me on weekends. That's what I meant by YouTube fan. That came from my wife. We're called to walk in the light, guys. You're not going to walk in the light like you can walk in the light without relationship, fellowship with a person of Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that empowers you. Elizabeth? Ooh, I pay attention. Well, I could have heard and cheated anyway, so. Look, He's the one that empowers Elizabeth to be a witness. Jesus said, tarry in the city. Don't run in zeal yet. Don't take off yet. Hope, go hang out. There's somebody coming. Don't leave without him. The promise is coming. He's going to empower you to be a witness. The promise of the Father when he comes, you'll be endued with power to be a witness when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now I'm reading, Paul has a deeper understanding now that he's experienced him. He said, make sure you commune with him, fellowship with him, have interaction with him. The word fellowship, you can actually find interaction in the definition. How can the church preach that he doesn't talk and speak today and the Holy Spirit is something you just receive positionally when you get saved instead of a person that you interact with? It's too much scripture. Plus, I've already met him and been with him. It's like telling me there's no Chris. Well, David ain't real. You didn't meet David. You think you met David. No, I met David. No, he's not. No, there's no David. I know David. No, you think you know David. He's not real. See, that's stupid. So, if you get to know him, even the devil won't be able to talk you out. If you get to know Holy Spirit, so when I first got saved, I'll close with this. Some of you heard this story, but I won't go into long detail. But I heard terrible curse words in my head. And it was 3 months into being saved. These vile phrases started shooting through my brain. And it was like I couldn't stop them. It was like I didn't want to think them, didn't want to say them. But the more I thought about not wanting to say them, the more they were there. They were derogatory. They were vicious phrases, phrases worse than I even spoke when I wasn't saved. And I swore pretty bad, but I wasn't swearing like this. This was bad. It was to the Lord. It was to him. And it was especially about Holy Spirit. It was demonic because I'm feeding on the word. I'm hungry. I'm reading like a madman. I'm reading my Bible 5 times a day, never less than 5 times a day. So I'm going to bump into the scripture of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to think in my mind that it means saying a curse word towards him. When actually blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is the resisting of his working and even attributing his works to the devil in darkness. He was warning the Pharisees, saying, your heart is so blind and hard, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is a sin that will never be forgiven. Why? Because you live your whole life and die resisting his work, attributing it to something else. Now your life's passed and you can't repent and change. And there's no forgiveness for it. When I shared this testimony, I can't believe how I got this onslaught of people crying, saying they thought they blasphemed the Holy Spirit because they heard curse words in their head and they were living cut off, but they were still going to church because they wanted to be close to God, but they believed they had already committed something unpardonable. And I said, the fact that you keep going to church and you want God means there's no way you could have done that. So here's what happened. I sat on my bed, I'm crying. I'm hearing these curse words and I'm crying. Them words weren't happy. They were nasty words and they weren't in my heart. So I was crying. I sat on my bed and I said, Lord, I don't feel this way about you. And I mean, I was sad. I was crying. Guess what Holy Spirit said? He said, I know you don't. Oh, woohoo. He said, I know you don't. I said, oh, that's so good. And then I said, so what do I do? Like, what do I do? I don't want to hear his voices. What am I supposed to do? It's almost like he chuckled and said, what do you do? Listen, every time you hear the voices, tell me how you feel about me. And I went, He was not one bit interested in stopping the voices. He was interested in me not believing them and being more confident in what's in my heart instead of what's in my head. And actually, abusing the devil in his craftiness and turning it on him and taking what he was trying to break me with and use it as a tool to make me with. He was zero interested in stopping the voices. See, we think this victory is when the voice stops. No, victory is when you stop believing the voice. Are you with me? So months go by. You say, months? Well, if that was God, it would work. See, it's not about it working. See, we keep thinking the voices is the problem. No, no, you believing the voices, you being influenced by the voices, you second-guessing your heart, questioning and stepping back is the problem. The voices are not the problem. There's always voices. But my sheep hear and obey my voice, and a stranger's, they will not follow. Why won't you follow a stranger? Because it's strange. That's simple. Months go by. I'm going to say it might even been 6. And it might have been a month that I hadn't heard it. I don't know. But all I know is this. I was hearing them voices, and every time I heard them, I love you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. I love you. Thank you for how you've transformed my life. You're empowering me to be everything Jesus paid for. I used to say to him a lot, I'd cry, please don't let one drop of grace that he paid for miss my life. Please, please, please apply it and let me become everything he accomplished. I want to walk in this thing, God. But I would talk to him, and here's what happened. I was about 9 months saved when I realized I wasn't hearing the voices anymore. But I hadn't really been thinking about it. Because guess what I had? An intimate communion, conversation, fellowship, and awareness of the person of Holy Spirit that I don't think I'd have ever had at the level I had it if it wasn't for the voices. And we think the voices is a problem. Watch. I was serving in ministry. I had a home group in my home. I'm 9 months saved. I was guest speaking in churches. 9 months saved. They called me Reverend, Pastor, Minister, and I'm 9 months saved. Doing Christian businessmen's meetings, white, silver-haired men like I am now, sitting there and I'm pouring into them. I'm not even a year old. They don't even know it. Everybody's just seeing Jesus in my life and everything that he was doing. And now I'm getting invited to go minister and speak and all this stuff. But guess what I had? An intimate awareness and relationship with Holy Spirit. Here's another thing I found out. And I'm not against schools and discipleship and training and teaching. But I'll tell you what, Holy Spirit is amazing. And love is the excellent way. And that's what he taught me, to love. I went to a ministry school when I was around 9 months old. And somebody suggested I start going to this school because God was using me all these faucets. And he was like, you know, it wouldn't hurt. You'd probably get a lot out of it, as much as you love the Lord. You go. First night I went to this school and sat in there teaching on the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm listening to these gifts. And then he picked out one, and that was the assignment to pray that God would use you in this gift. In the school, sitting, I realized I could put language on everything I'd experienced. And 9 months saved, I had experienced every single gift in the Holy Spirit. Everyone, which means you're not limited to one. The best gift is the one that's needed in the moment. So here I am, 9 months saved, moved in every one of the 9 gifts of Spirit and didn't even know how to teach it. And didn't even realize it was a teaching. And was never trained, taught, hands laid on me or nothing. Just been with him and walking in love. So that's all I wanted to impart to you. And I wanted to be done about 4:30 and it's 5:17. So welcome to Redemption House, right? Where they give you the mic hours after the service starts. And then you hand them back the mic hours later. And we all go home late. Please have fellowship with him. Please talk to him. Please commune with him and talk to him every day. If you got to write a sticky note and stick it around your house just to trigger your heart on these things, it's okay. He won't get offended. He wants you to remember. He gives us so many contact points of faith. He gives us communion, cup and bread. He gives us the anointing of oil. He gives us water baptism. He gives us so many things that are contact points of faith to relate to truths. If you got to put a sticky note on your mirror, because you're heading there anyway, just put it right on your mirror. Put two of them. Remember who you are. And right underneath it, Holy Spirit will take you there.
Come on.
Oh, you just can't go wrong with that. You put remember who you are, and you put them on there so you can't even see yourself until you read them, see? I mean, if you have a real close and intimate marriage, slip one on your wife's forehead when she falls asleep. So when you wake up, remember who you are. If you don't have a real close intimate, put it on the back of her head. And when you wake up, just remember who you are. I'm really messing up. No. If you don't have a real close intimate marriage, there's a lot of messages on YouTube on love and marriage. No, I'm just having fun with y'all. What I'm saying is put it somewhere you're going to see it. I can see you wives now. You want your husbands transformed. You'll be putting the sticky note on your lips. Good morning, honey. And he has to see it and move it before he can say good morning. Remember who I am. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's stand to our feet. Just hold out your hands like this. Would you from your heart right now just welcome him and acknowledge that you believe in the person of Holy Spirit? Would you just acknowledge that you believe in him? Say, I believe in you. And just begin to invite him and tell him you believe he's in your life. You believe he loves you. He's here to empower you, to help you, to teach you, to guide you. Would you just let your hunger go towards him right now? And at some point, just begin to tell him, hey, I want to be way more aware of you. I want to have a relationship with you that's undeniable. And I thank you for loving me. You can say, I've been not even thinking about Holy Spirit. Okay, he's not offended. He's God the Holy Spirit, so he's love. He's just excited that you're connecting. He's not saying, boy, where have you been? He's excited that you're connecting. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. We acknowledge you. And we just thank you for who you are in our lives. Jesus, you were not kidding when you were sending us a helper and he was the same kind as. Holy Spirit, you're wonderful. You're beautiful. The Bible actually says the Lord is the Spirit. Well, I thought Jesus was the Lord. The very next verse, and where the Spirit of the Lord is. So he's saying they're all one and the same. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. They're one and the same. Don't get confused about that. You can't separate them because of will and intent. But they're Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father loves you, so he sent his Son because he loved you. And there's grace that flows through his Son that invites us into fellowship, co-union, and communion with the person of Holy Spirit. And he's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Yes. And he's holy. So we just thank you, Holy Spirit. I just ask you to reveal yourself to us more and more. Let our hearts know you. And through knowing you, let our hearts know the Father and know the Son and live out everything the Father's ever intended. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you, and I'm asking you personally and publicly in this room, yes, just like I asked over all the children yesterday, that you would begin to be more real to us and prod us and poke us into that place of knowing you. I'm asking you for grace in this. I'm asking you that you would keep our eyes fixed on you, that no one would ever believe they're alone, that no one would ever be afraid, that we would always see life through you in Christ Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen, amen. And amen. That was the only little word I had in my heart, but somehow it turned into an hour and something.